This is It Was Nice Knowing You. I am your host, Jessica.
I'm your other host, Autumn.
We are sisters, and we love serial killers. So, Autumn, I am about to tell you some fun facts. Are you ready for some fun facts?
Sure.
Perfect.
Tell me some fun facts.
Did you know that the U.S. hosts 67% of all known serial killers?
Actually, I did know that because you already told me that.
Do you know how many that is?
A lot.
It's over 3,000. And the U.S. has the most serial killers out of any country on the planet. Do you know what the country with the second most serial killers is?
Is it England?
It's England with 166. So that's like a really big difference in amount of serial killers. Do you want to know how to become a serial killer?
Sure.
Just tuck that information away for future knowledge in case you want to get famous. In a really bad way.
It's only for emergencies.
A serial killer has to have three things about them. They have to have at least three victims. The killings must occur at different locations. And there has to be a cooling off period.
That's cool.
Did you know that the FBI estimates there are from 35 to 50 active serial killers in the country at any given time?
That's scary.
I feel like that's like just a little bit too many serial killers, because it could be like, that's a small amount compared to how many people we have here.
It's a large amount compared to other countries, I'm sure.
Well, it's a small amount compared to the number of people we have in our country, but also that's too many serial killers to be active at one time. Even with the lower number, 35, that's still...
I'm sure it's a large number compared to how many active serial killers are in other countries at any given time.
I don't know, maybe. I just think that's too many. Way too many.
It is too many.
Okay. And with that, we're going to tell you a little bit about ourselves instead of serial killers, because our favorite subject is ourselves.
Sure.
We both live in Michigan, we have four seasons, so already step up from the bottom half of the country, so. I'm a Leo, so get ready for that.
She's a Cancer Leo, too.
I'm a cusp. Leave me alone.
I'm a cusp too, Jessica.
Yeah, but you're a Libra. Nobody likes Libras.
A Libra Scorpio.
That makes it worse. You know that, right? That's literally worse.
Your face is worse.
Shut up. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story now because you're insulting me. I don't like it when you bully me.
You bully me all the time, Jessica.
That's because you're younger. You deserve it.
That's rude.
Stop reading my notes, Autumn. Do you want to hear about Anna Marie Hahn?
Sure. She sounds like a delightful person.
Just based off of her name, you're just basing that off of her name, and off of the fact that you're looking at my notes.
Considering the fact that it's a podcast about serial killers, I'm assuming she's probably not a very delightful person.
I mean, you don't know that. You don't know what she does in her personal time, besides killing
people.
Okay,
but she also kills people.
Shh, it's fine. So her nicknames were Arsenic Annie, the Blonde Borgia, the Angel of Mercy, or the Poison Angel.
The Borgia.
I don't know. It's German. So she was born on July 7th in 1906 in Bavaria, Germany, to George and Katharina Filser. Which, fun fact, here in Michigan, we have Frankenmuth, which is known as Little Bavaria.
I did not know that it was known as Little Bavaria.
It's a very German town. They hold an Oktoberfest festival every year. And it is also home to Bronner's, which is the largest Christmas store that is open 365 days a year.
You sound like you found a nature documentary or something.
Well, I am really interested in Frankenmuth. It is one of my favorite places.
Are you really that interested in Frankenmuth?
Yes, it's one of my favorite places on the
planet.
I mean,
it's cool, but it's not that cool.
Shut up, you haven't been there.
Yes, I have.
You haven't been
there
enough to appreciate it.
They have a really good popcorn shop there.
They do.
Also, I'm sorry about the sniffing. I'm sick.
So nobody cares, Autumn.
You
be gross on your own time.
Shut up.
Anyway, That was her parents. Youngest, she was the youngest of 12 children, and she had 9 brothers, which is, honestly, one brother is too many. We have 2, and this is from personal experience. 1 brother is too many brothers. So, her parents had lost 3 children, and 2 of their boys were killed in action during World War I. She spent 5 months in the hospital as a little girl, and she had blood poisoning, and she literally thought she was going to die.
That's great.
I don't want that suck. You're like...
Maybe she should have died because she ended up killing people, I'm assuming.
I guess that just wasn't in the cards for her. She was like, I gotta live through this so I can end other people's lives. And then, like, right after she recovered...
Put her on my bed?
Stop interrupting me.
You just put your bra on my bed. That's rude. It's like...
Where else am I going to put it?
It's too close... On the floor?
That doesn't need to go on the floor.
Yes, it does.
No.
In the dirty clothes.
Stop interrupting me. I'm trying to talk.
Okay.
So right after she recovered from the blood poisoning, she had to have her thyroid gland removed.
That sucks.
And she was the youngest girl, so she was her mom's favorite. So she was spoiled. Like, really spoiled.
Speaking from personal experience, you wouldn't know anything about that, though.
Shut up. She got in trouble when she was a teenager, because she used to sneak out of her window at night to go to parties, and she was spoiled, used to getting her way. So she never graduated from high school, but later in life, she would claim to. She'd be like, yeah, I graduated from high school. Please give me a job. Thank you. She also said she graduated from teaching school, which if anyone told me, I graduated from teaching school, I'd be like, no, you didn't. You're not getting a job here.
What is teaching school?
Where you go to become a teacher, I guess.
I thought you just went to college to become a teacher.
You do. Well, this was in, like, the 1900s.
True.
Like, early 1900s. So, I don't know how they dealt with things back then, but not correctly. So... She went to live with her sister, Caddy, in Holland to help her with her disciplinary issues. Mm-hmm. And then, on May 31st, 1925, when she was 18 years old, Anna Marie gave birth to her son, Oscar, out of wedlock. Oscar! Stop quoting The Office, Autumn. So, she obviously brought shame to her family. Great shame. Because, no... You just don't do that. So her community shunned her, and she was like, well, screw this noise. I want to leave. I'm going to America, land of the free.
Why would you come to America?
Because she was in Germany, yes. And everyone hated her.
America sucked.
Yeah, but
everyone
she
hated
didn't know
the Americans,
that.
Too, so.
She didn't know America sucked yet, so.
Really? She lived in another country. I'm sure she knew America sucked.
Yeah, well, they didn't have the internet back then. They didn't know how much it sucked. So, Oscar stays in Germany with his grandmother, so Anna Marie's mother, and on February 11th, 1929, she arrives in New York at 22 years old and lives with her step-uncle, Max. And then, that same year, she moves in with Charles Oswald, who is a retired banker, and he's 71, and she lied to him about becoming a nurse in Germany so she could take care of him.
Why are you always lying?
So he develops a little crush on her, and he's like, I know I'm 71 and you're 22, but I want to marry you, because I guess old men were perverts back then, too.
Old men were always perverts.
So she, obviously, she's like, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to tell him I'm going to marry him, get him on my hair a little bit, and she goes, yeah, I'll marry you. I love you. She's lying. She does that. She's very good at lying, and she's not going to marry him. She actually starts stealing his money, which I guess if there's an old man proving on me, I'd take advantage of it too. Can't really blame her for that one. So she starts stealing his money and then immediately turns around and becomes a gambling addict. You want to know what her first bet was?
What's that?
She bet $2 and won $260. That's a pretty good bet.
Could you imagine being the person to win that bet, though? You're going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get so much money when you get, like, $2.
No, she bet $2.
Yeah, I know, like the other person. No. She's betting against.
No, you don't bet against, you bet on stuff, and you bet in the odds. I don't really know how betting works, but apparently I know more than you do.
I'm 13.
When you gamble, it just,
Okay, but like, yeah. You're 21, and I'm not.
I know you're not, you're younger than me.
That's Hunter.
That scared me. I was like, what is that noise? It's someone playing a guitar in the next room.
It's our brother, by the way. We know who it is.
Yeah. So then spring of 1929, she gets a job as a chambermaid at Hotel Alms. I don't know what happened to Charles, why she moved out of his house, why she stopped working for him, but... No, he didn't die. He doesn't die until later, Autumn.
I'm really sorry.
Stop making assumptions.
Well, she... It's a serial killer podcast. I'm assuming she is a serial killer. So, I assumed that he died. Also, he was like 71.
Wouldn't that be funny if I told you that she's not the serial killer, someone else is? No, she's a serial killer. I'm lying to you. So, she gets a job as a chambermaid, and then... In the summer, she meets Philip J. Hahn, who was a telegrapher for Western Union, and they fall in love. Oh, I know. And then, May 5th, 1930, she marries Philip in Buffalo, New York. So they had a summer wedding. And then, in the summer, Oscar finally moves to America, and all three of the Hahns move to Cincinnati.
Why would you move to Cincinnati? If you're going to move to Ohio, why wouldn't you move to Chattanooga?
No, the first question is, why would you move to Ohio? And did you just say, why wouldn't you move to Chattanooga if you were going to move to Ohio? Chattanooga's in Tennessee. Try again. Someone needs to retake geography.
I don't like you.
I don't care. Anyway, and then on July 7th, 1930, she receives 27 shares of Union Gas and Electric from Oswald.
I thought you said 27 chairs for a second.
27 shares.
27 chairs.
With a sh, like bonds, not bonds, stocks, stunks.
Stunks.
So she receives 27 shares from him and a $700 transfer into her bank account from his. And then he denies giving them to her. So he says, no, that wasn't me. And then she sells the stocks. She sold from him over the span of 3 months. And then February 3rd, 1931, her uncle, Max, changes his will to leave her everything. And it says, to my beloved niece. I'm sure there was no coercion there at all. And in 1932, she sells the family business to buy a bakery/deli.
How quaint.
It's the most domestic part of the story you see.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Fall of 1932, they rent rooms from Ernest Kohler, who is 62. And Anna Marie steals prescription pads from him so she can forge a doctor's signature and get illegal morphine for herself.
Girl.
I know. She's just a mess.
Why?
She's a whole mess.
Why you do this stuff?
She's a mess and a half. And then May 6th, 1933, Kohler dies under suspicion of poisoning.
Ooh.
But the coroner ruled him to have had throat cancer, and that's what killed him.
Okay.
Like, we believe that.
Yeah.
But all right.
Sure. Whatever you say, bud.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Me too, man.
You right.
So Kohler was cremated, and the ashes were given to Anna Marie, and she placed them on her mantle.
Oh.
He also left her everything in his will.
Why would you do that, man?
I don't know. I guess she was like... Old men really loved her. I don't know. This is how it looks. So then she begins caring for Albert Parker, who is 72, and then he dies.
Suspish.
Mm-hmm. And then, she had borrowed money from him, and obviously she never paid him back because he died, but she borrowed money from him, and then he died, which is
suspicious. Unfortunate.
Then her residence on Colleran Avenue catches fire mysteriously, and she collects $300 in insurance.
Mysterious. Very mysterious.
June 2nd, 1935, her second residence catches fire, and she collects insurance.
Mysterious. Very mysterious.
And then she calms down for a second. She's like, I gotta stop saying my hands.
That's
on
funny.
Fire.
But not funny. Ha ha. Funny weird.
August 14th, 1935, Oswald dies at 77 and leaves all of his assets to Anna Marie. Why? But.
Y'all need to stop leaving all of your assets.
No, there's
to
a
Anna
but.
Marie.
There's a but in the story.
Oh, like you?
There's a but. Shut up. There were no assets left for his estate because she had already stolen them all. And then Philip becomes ill, and he gets a stiff leg and a drop foot.
What are those?
I don't know what a stiff leg is, but, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. But I do know what a drop foot is. I looked up what a drop foot was because I knew you were going to ask me. A drop foot is muscular weakness or paralysis causing you to drag your foot on the ground when you walk. So that is also self-explanatory.
So basically you just like walk like a zombie?
I guess. I don't know. Okay. I've never had that before.
I've never had it be either.
And then Philip's mother becomes ill after Anna Marie gives her a box of chocolates. Which is so rude. We have so few enjoyments in this life, and you're going to take away that one little thing. Mm-mm.
That's rude. You do not know. You don't mess with somebody's chocolate, okay?
Mm-mm.
That's just crossing the line right there.
December 1935, Anna Marie tries to take out a $10,000 life insurance policy on her husband.
Was she denied? Please tell me she was.
Denied. Then she tries to take out a $5,000 life insurance policy on him, and she's approved. Which is biggest mistake
Boo.
Ever. May 20th, 1936, their third residence catches fire, and they collect $2,000 in insurance.
Mysterious. Very mysterious.
On June 1936, she meets George Heiss, and they become friends. And then he starts
he
calling
died.
Her... No. And then he starts calling her his girl.
Oh, no.
But she's still married. And I think...
About to get real now.
I think she's planning on killing her husband, but I really don't know. I did read, though, after I read the whole article and everything, it said at the bottom, her and her husband were estranged. They never got divorced, but they did become estranged. I don't know when that happened, because it didn't tell me when it happened. It just told me that it happened. So, there is a factor in there, and I don't know when they became estranged, but, I mean, maybe it was because George Heiss started calling her his girl. I mean, I'm not saying it's... his fault, but it might be his fault.
Maybe it's because she poisoned his mother.
Nah, it's fine. Parents-in-law, you know how it goes. So July 15th, 1936. So she's 30 in 1936. I just wanted to give you a timeline. Okay. She meets Stina Cable, and they get a beer together.
Stina? Who names their kid Stina?
That girl's parents.
Oh, it's a girl.
Maybe it's Stina. I don't know.
What's it spelled?
S-T-I-N-A.
Probably Steiner.
Shut up.
S-T-I.
She steals $800 from her, and Cable is poisoned. She gets sick for a whole year.
I wonder who it was.
July 20th, 1936, Anna Marie purchases croton oil.
What's croton oil?
Croton oil is oil from a tree that causes diarrhea when diluted and is very toxic when it's not diluted.
Cool.
So October 1936, Heiss falls ill after his feedings from Anna Marie.
I wonder why.
And he's like, she fed me and now I'm sick. So, bye-bye. He kicks her out. But he kicked her out too late because now he's paralyzed.
Oop.
And then March 26, 1937, Albert Parker, who is 72, dies of arsenic poisoning.
So she buys, like, a ton of croton oil, and then she kills someone with arsenic?
Yep. Did you know?
That makes so much sense.
Did you know? Fun fact! There's enough arsenic in 6 apple seeds to kill someone.
That's not a very fun fact.
Can you hear the cat?
Yes, I can hear the cat.
He's crying. And then June 3rd, 1937, Jacob Wagner, who is 78, dies.
Cool.
You want to know how much arsenic is in his body?
How much?
much arsenic was in his body. Because there was a lot of arsenic in his body. He had 4 times the lethal amount of arsenic in his body.
Oh my gosh.
So he had 16. No, not 16. What's 6 times 4?
I don't know. 24?
He had 24 apple seeds in his body. Anna Marie poisoned his orange juice. She just wanted to make sure. She had to check for pulse, make sure the job got done.
Jeez. She really made sure to double tap on that one.
She also made a fake will in his name. Because she sucks.
Oh. How do you do this, though?
So then, July 1937. So she steals all this money from all of these people. And then in July of 1937, she loses the life insurance because she misses the payments.
What is she doing with all of this money?
Like, obviously not paying off the life insurance.
How much money has she stolen from how many people now? Well, she's a gambling addict, remember. Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
She's not paying her life insurance. That's what she's not doing.
Why do you need this much money, though, girl? Like, you must be real bad
because
at gambling.
Because I want money.
Like, you need this much money just because you're a gambling addict.
I want money.
She wants money.
That's her theme song. And then July 6th, 1937, George Selman, it's G Selman, but I don't know why there's a G there.
Probably Selman.
I think maybe it's silent. I think it's silent, but that's also a really dumb last name to
maybe
have.
Maybe it's Gelman.
I don't know. He's 67 and he dies finally of croton oil poisoning. She finally used the croton oil. She bought it.
How many years did she have that stuff?
She bought it in 1936, and she used it in 1937. She only had it for a year.
Yeah.
But then, August 1st, 1937, and you're not allowed to laugh at this guy's last name, okay? Ready? Keep a straight face. Are you ready? George Obendorfer. I told you weren't allowed to laugh. He's dead. He dies of arsenic poisoning on a train to Colorado. And then Anna Marie steals the jewelry and money from their hotel room.
That's just rude.
And then some people think that she somehow got her son to help her with her dirty work because some pawn shop owners in Chicago later describe both her and a young boy selling the jewelry. So there's a theory that her son helped her with the selling of this stuff. I don't know if he was involved in the murders. I didn't get that far.
There's a theory.
And then August 10th, 1937, she's finally arrested for the murder of Jacob Wagner, died 3 months earlier, 2 months earlier. Anyway, 2 months.
It's Jacob.
Jacob Wagner. It's Jacob. Jacob. October 11th, 1937, her trial begins. So a month later. No, that's 2 months later.
Jacob.
She pled not guilty.
Jacob is the Dutch pronunciation of Jacob.
I don't know if that's how that works, but sure.
It is.
And then, November 10th, 1937, Anna Marie was sentenced to death by electric chair.
That sucks.
And then, a whole year later, Wednesday, December 7th, 1938, Anna Marie dies at 8:13 p.m. in Sparky, the electric chair. Fun fact, did you know that there... I looked up, because it said Sparky on the article, and I was like, what do you mean, Sparky? They have names? And there's a bunch of states, I don't remember them, but there's a bunch of them that called the electric chair Sparky, and then there were like 3 of them that called the electric chair Smokey.
I think each state should have a different name for their electric chair.
They're going to end up not very creative, because there's like so many electric theme names that you can buy.
Well, who said you have to give it an electric theme name?
You're going to get smoked in an electric chair called Bob?
Yeah. Why can't you name it like Jerry or something?
Gerald.
Come on, Gerald.
She's the first woman to die by electric chair in the state of Ohio. And her total victim count?
That's not the best accomplishment for women. But.
What do you mean? Women can kill 2. This is progression for women, okay?
Okay.
Women can be serial killers, So her total victim count, she was estimated 5 victims, but she was only prosecuted for 1. But you know what? They got her sentenced to death, so obviously she did something wrong.
It's probably because she was what is going on? It's probably one of the cats.
I bet you it was Hedwig.
Probably.
Anyway, that's it for mine.
I'm done. Would you like to hear my story?
No.
Too bad, I'm gonna tell you.
No. Okay.
I don't like you.
I don't care.
Okay. I'm gonna tell you about a man named Jack Harold Jones, Jr.
Sounds like a nice guy.
He's not.
Okay.
I looked at, like, three different articles, and all of them, like, just jumped straight into the murders that he committed. Like, none of them said anything about his background.
Boring.
So, I don't have anything on that, but all I have is that he was born on August 10th, 1964, in Toledo, Ohio.
Another Ohioan.
I swear. So many serial killers.
And this is why we don't like Ohio.
And the freaking cave tour we went on this summer.
Oh my gosh. We went to Tennessee and we went on a cave tour, and there was a huge group of people from Ohio, and they were all teenagers, and they went through the cave going, what were they saying?
Were they just being obnoxious.
They were being really loud, and they'd be like, Ohio,
and like sometimes
Ohio.
We would have to pass another group, and whenever we pass another group, they'd be like, Ohio.
And this one lady goes, what did she say?
She was like, can you not scream, please?
She was the hero of our whole day.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we went somewhere else and they were also there. And we were like, are you freaking kidding me? Anyway, back to my soaps.
On May 2nd, 1983, 20-year-old university student Regina Harrison left her home for a nightly bike ride.
That's a really bad idea.
She never came home.
Oof.
Her family and friends started to get worried after a couple of days of her not being there, and they alerted the police, and they went to search the area where she was biking in, and she was drowned. She was found strangled to death in Westlake Park. She was drowned, strangled to death.
English can be hard.
Yeah. She was, multiple witnesses said that they saw her riding in Hollywood's Westlake Park with a skinny, long-haired man on a black bike. Mm-hmm. There were no leads for 5 months until a homicide detective in Fort Lauderdale.
Did you just say homicide detective?
I said homicide detective, Jessica. A homicide detective in Fort Lauderdale saw the case on TV. His name was John Curcio. Curcio was a member of the unit that had captured Ronald Henry Stewart, a serial rapist from Mississippi in the late 1980s.
Well, that's what you get for being a serial rapist. That's all I got to say about that.
Curcio noticed Stewart resembled the suspect's sketch and owned a black bike. A witness said that Stewart was the one she'd seen riding Regina. Stewart was charged with Harrison's murder, and he entered a plea of no contest and was given 50 years in January 1985. He confessed to the crime, although there were a lot of things that pointed to his innocence. There were fingerprints from the scene that did not match his.
You know, sometimes I wonder why people confess to crimes they don't commit, and then I'm like, I kind of get it though.
It's probably easier than like.
Cause it's like I'm just yeah sure I did it whatever. Can I go home? Like, I just want to go take a nap. I don't want to go back in my room, please. I'm just so tired. I want to go to bed. So yeah, I did it. Sure. Plus, you know, sometimes, which it's definitely not legal anymore, but I don't know about back then, when cops question criminals, they use a lot of leading questions, like, you were here on this night, correct? You were seen doing this, correct? You left fingerprints at the scene, correct? And you can actually implant memories in someone's head by doing that. They did an experiment, and they implanted memories of people committing crimes that they didn't commit into. The brain is a fascinating organ. It also kind of sucks sometimes.
Yeah. I don't like my brain. My brain sucks.
I don't like your brain either.
I don't like you.
You say that like I care.
Shut up, Jessica.
Anyway, keep going.
He never repudiated.
Keep going, don't stop.
He never repudiated or claimed coercion. This is a crime.
What?
What?
I don't know, you just kind of stop.
I just got the joke you made, okay? But later, in 2007, he died in prison from cancer.
Oh man, that sucks. I hate it when I die in prison from cancer.
Later, DNA from the case was found. Later, they matched DNA from the scene that matched Jones, the guy that the story's about.
He hasn't been in it very much.
No, he hasn't. That was, like, one of the murders that it's believed that he committed, but it was never proven that he was the killer.
Oh, darn, that must be frustrating.
Yeah. Anyway. I didn't put a date on this for some reason, but, 32-year-old tourist in Pennsylvania named Lorraine, Lori, and Barrett was seen at the Elbow Room bar. What are you doing?
I'm trying to adjust. Leave me alone.
Keep going.
Ignore me.
Her body, she was accompanied to her room at Days Inn Lauderdale Surf Motel by a heavily tattooed man. Her body was found by a cleaning lady on June 1st, 1991.
I would really hate to be that cleaning lady. Can you imagine? Just going to work, normal day. Lily, going to work, normal day, and then you find a dead body.
Okay, but like, imagine how many times that happens on a daily basis, considering how many active...
I don't want to.
Considering how many active serial killers are in our country.
Yeah, I don't want to imagine that. This is why I'm not a cleaning lady.
There were signs of her being raped and subsequently strangled. Police created a facial composite with descriptions of the suspect's tattoos, but the case quickly went cold.
They should put it in the microwave. Heat it up.
That's
You're welcome.
How it works, Jessica. On June 6, 1995, 34-year-old mother of three, Mary Phillips, was at work in an accounting office in Bald Knob, Arkansas.
Bald Knob. It's right there. I don't even need to make the joke. That's all I need to say.
There you go.
Her 11-year-old daughter, Lacey Phillips, was with her. Jones broke into the office equipped with latex gloves, a wire, and a BB gun.
I, too, spend my Saturday nights breaking into places equipped with latex gloves, a wire, and a BB gun. It's the only way to do it, really.
Yeah.
I don't know how you've been doing it, but this guy's an expert, clearly. It's like, he got away with one murder, and then he was like, let's see how insane it can get. I want to make it weird. Stop laughing. Keep going.
Sorry.
Keep going. Don't stop.
This is your fault.
I know. Just not funny. You don't have to. It's okay.
Stop talking! Jones beat, raped, and murdered Mary. And he beat Lacey so brutally that she appeared dead.
What a butthole.
Jones tied Lacey to a chair and left her in the bathroom. The crime was quickly reported to the authorities.
Who reported it?
I don't know. Like, that confused me. Because, like, she was at work in, like, an office, and he just broke into the office.
I'm assuming it was night and nobody else was there, otherwise, obviously.
Maybe somebody, like, came back because they were like, oh, I forgot.
Maybe there was an alarm system.
Maybe.
Or maybe she went to work early and then someone showed up on time for work. And they were like, oh my gosh, there's
also
blood everywhere.
Why is your 11-year-old daughter with you
while you're working
at an accounting office?
Wouldn't that suck if that was actually bring your daughter to work day?
Yeah, that would be pretty bad. It didn't say who reported the crime to the authorities. It just said it was reported to the authorities. Okay. The local sheriff's station dispatched three officers to the scene. They found Mary's body and Lacey. Lacey's injuries caused them to believe that she was dead. Like, they didn't find out that she was alive.
Nobody checked for a pulse. They were like, oh yeah, looks pretty dead.
Like,
keep moving.
They didn't find out that she was alive until one of the detectives was taking pictures of the crime scene and he noticed that one of her eyes was focused on him.
That poor girl has so much therapy in front of her. I feel so bad. I feel so bad for people that, like, live through these kinds of scenarios.
I feel
because
in that situation, you'd probably just rather die.
Well, I feel so bad because, well, first of all, it sucks that that happens to you, and that's, like, really traumatizing, number one, right out the gate. Yeah,
it's
like, why
horrible.
Do people gotta be buttholes about it? But, like, the fact that, I know, the victims, I feel like people don't really think about, they're like, oh, that sucks that that happened to you, and they're just thinking that one situation, but, like, think about how much more expensive their life just became. Like, if, like, someone breaks into your house, you have to, I don't know, to feel safe, you'd feel, you'd want to have a security system, so you'd spend more money on a security system. And then you gotta pay for therapy, which is, oh my gosh, so expensive.
Yeah,
it's just...
you've still got some
it's like,
issues.
It's like, especially, okay, it's one of those things where it's like, you know how being a woman is more expensive than being a man? Because, I don't know, misogyny? Because the pink tax and just everything, and pockets. Don't get me started on pockets. That's a whole huge tangent I could go on. But just being, I don't know, going through stuff like that, it makes it more expensive to be alive. And I feel like everyone has the right to be alive without feeling like they're literally going to die at any moment. You know what I mean?
Like, a lot of people don't think about the long-term effects that it's going to have on somebody's brain. Like, they're going to be messed up for the rest of their lives.
And that is so rude to do that to someone.
I
just
know.
Why do we have to kill other people? Can you just not for a second? Thank you. Jeez. Just before, okay, word of advice. Before you, if you are feeling urges to kill someone, stop, take a deep breath, eat a Snickers. You're not you when you're hungry. It'll be fine. Have a glass of wine. Maybe go to bed. Wake up in the morning. You'll feel better. I promise. You don't need to end another person's life. I promise it'll be okay.
And there's almost nothing I hate more than when people say that it wasn't their fault because of, like, things that happened in their childhood. They're like, oh, they were abused as a child. It's not their fault.
Yes,
like,
it is. Because, listen.
They're still the ones that chose to do it.
Lots of people are abused as children.
Murder.
And they don't become murderers. They deal with their stuff internally.
Like everyone else.
I promise it's gonna be okay. Just go to therapy. Anyway, go back to your story.
Upon discovering that Lacey was alive, she was rushed to a nearby hospital. Once she was stabilized, she gave the police a description of the attacker. She described him as a man with a tattoo around his eye.
I think it'd be really painful to get for a tattoo. Just that's a really sensitive spot. What if they
like
missed and, like, went into your eyeball? I know you can get your eyes tattooed, but I feel like they have to use a special needle for that.
The man was identified as Jones. He confessed when he was brought in for interrogation. He was brought to trial, found guilty, and sentenced to death for killing Mary. When he entered CODIS, which is like a DNA.
I know what CODIS is, Autumn. I watch.
Well, people listening to this might not know what CODIS is.
Well, then they're not on the right podcast, I'll tell you that right now.
His DNA was matched to evidence from the Lori Barrett case. He was proved to be Barrett's killer. His execution was stayed several times due to high blood pressure and diabetes. He had one of his legs amputated. His sister said that he was physically and sexually abused as a child.
Cool.
And
that doesn't excuse what he did.
He said he was haunted by the ghosts of his victims and incapable of forgiving himself for what he did.
I freaking hope so. That's all I got to say. Yeah. Maybe you should have thought about that before you, I don't know, killed people. I don't know. That's just my suggestion. I don't know. Take it with that what you will.
He was executed by lethal injection on April 24th, 2017, along with rapist murderer Marcel Williams, marking the first double execution in the country in 17 years.
Well, you get what you... I don't know. What goes around comes around. It's called karma. Don't kill people, and you won't get killed by the U.S. government. Listen. And they need to stop doing this first woman to be killed in an electric chair, first double execution in 17 years. Stop giving them more to be famous over, all right? They already get to be famous because they're serial killers, which, while I don't really agree that we perpetuate that, we are doing this, so.
Yeah.
Kind of a hypocritical on that one, but it's kind of like you listen to podcasts about serial killers and you watch documentaries about serial killers so you don't end up as a victim of a serial killer. We're helping you here.
This is how you learn to not end up as a
victim. Mm-hmm.
Also, watching horror movies helps a lot. It's pretty much just a how to not get murdered guide. How to not get murdered for dummies.
I feel like horror movies are simpler than that, though, because it's just like, kind of, if you hear a strange noise in the middle of the night coming from
your
closet,
walk,
don't
toward
open
it.
The closet. That's like just common sense right
if
there.
If some weird stuff is happening at your house, move away.
Also,
like, so many people are just like, oh, it's the building settling. It's fine. Like, no, get
buildings
out of
don't
there.
Settle that much.
Yeah.
Also,
it's
don't ride your bike in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It sucks that as women that we can't go for a walk in the middle of the night if we want to, but listen, here's the thing. I understand the frustration about that because I myself am a woman who likes to walk out at night and see the stars. They're very beautiful. But we have to accept that this is the world we live in, and if you want to not be the victim of a serial killer, don't go outside at night. Don't leave your house. Buy a separate lock. Lock your deadbolt. Make sure to lock all your doors tonight, all your windows.
Locking windows isn't always helpful because they can always break them.
Keep something heavy on your nightstand. I have a salt lamp on my nightstand. That will hurt.
I can chuck a box of tissues at them. It's empty, though.
I feel like if you're going to chuck anything at them, it would be the salt lamp. The salt lamp would hurt. It's a big chonker.
I could hit them over the head with a lamp. I have a beating stick under my bed. I have a beating stick under my bed. There's a light thing with the lamp in the air. I can just whack them over the head with this thing.
And then when it breaks, you can stab them with it.
It's already broken. It doesn't work anymore. I don't know what I did to it. I didn't even do anything. Like, I haven't touched this thing in the past month. Nothing's been sitting on top of it. It just doesn't work anymore.
Did the batteries die?
I've turned it on, like, twice.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm sure there's somewhere you could take it to get fixed, but
I also have an electric fly swatter sitting over there.
Yeah,
I have multiple things.
All the way across your room.
I have multiple things that I could use.
Also, if anyone's going to die first, it's probably going to be me.
Yeah, it's going to be you. Or Seth.
Probably it depends on what door they come in. But that's really not the point.
Unless you're not here.
Yeah.
It's still probably going to be you because you don't live in a very good neighborhood.
Actually, you know what? I literally, like, on my way to my new job, I got a new job. Super excited about that. I love talking about me. Anyway, on my way to my new job, which is in Cascade, I'm going to pinpoint where I work. Cascade is, like, a really nice, like, rich suburban area, suburbia of Grand Rapids. It's, oh my gosh, like, it's so nice. Like, just a mile, not even a mile from my house. Like, I just drive in the right direction, and all of a sudden, it's, like, neighborhood change, rich people. Like, nice houses, like, I feel poor when I go through there. Also, I found a Starbucks, like, right next to my house, and I was like, there's a Starbucks over here? What?
You get Starbucks on your way to work.
Oh, I know. I'm going to spend way too much money at Starbucks. It's not even funny.
Okay. Anyway, do you want to know what his last name was?
Oh, you're not done? I thought you were done.
No, I'm not done.
What was his last meal?
His last meal consisted of fried chicken, potato logs with tartar sauce, beef jerky bites, 3 candy bars, a chocolate milkshake, and fruit punch.
Fruit punch? I just feel like that's a weird beverage to have.
It's such a childish thing to drink.
But also,
it's
me
good.
Too. I forget what state it was, but there was one state that stopped doing. I think it was just one state. I think some of them still do them, but one of the states stopped doing last meals because someone ordered, like, a lot of food. Like, a lot of food. And then didn't eat it. Didn't eat any of it. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
I liked your story.
I also have his last words.
Oh, what were his last words?
They weren't very funny. Can I hear them anyway? Sure. Well, I just want to let the James family and Lacey know how sorry I am. I can't believe I did something to her. I tried to be respectful from the time I took and become a better person. Brings a tear to the eye.
I have some choice words for him.
Apparently he wrote like an entire letter and sent it to her before he died too.
If I was her, I would go to the execution because they have to have witnesses for the execution. So I'd go to the execution and I'd stand in the little window and I'd make direct eye contact with him as they injected him and I'd rip it and I'd burn all the pieces with a lighter. They probably don't have a lighter in there, but I'd still do it.
I'd smuggle it in my prison wallet just to burn the letter in front of him. Because what a douchebag.
And then you go to jail.
We all know that's probably where I'm going to end up someday for something really dumb. They're going to be like, you killed someone. And I'm going to be like, no, I literally don't leave my couch. I don't know what you're talking about. I got a spam call the other day and they were like, this is da-da-da-da-da. Your name and or something has been involved in criminal activity. And I was like, nope, okay. You got the wrong person there, but try again. Okay, it's been nice knowing you. It's been very nice knowing you. We will. I guess we'll see you in the next one. If you keep on listening. You don't have to. I know we're annoying. I get it. Yeah. I get it. Or if you just really hate Leos and Libras.
And Cancers and Scorpios. Then
I mean, I understand hating Scorpios. Scorpios kind of suck. Not the best part of your personality.
I can understand hating Cancers and Leos.
Jessica.
Shut up. We're the best. It's fine. Anyway.
Like, literally, one of my favorite book characters is Libra, so be quiet.
Which one is that?
Heisen. The Zodiac.
Oh, from the Zodiac series. You're welcome for introducing me to that, by the way.
Literally, I died so much. Like,
I'd die for Riley.
I would die for Riley. Like, Ro, I hate
Autumn, this isn't book talk.
I hated Ro. It's going to be book talk for
Jessica. This isn't book talk.
I hated Ro so much. Like, I mean, in the beginning she was fine. I just thought she was kind of whiny, but, like, that's to be expected because she's a Cancer. Like, Cancers are whiny, okay?
Rude.
But, like, and I never really liked Matthias that much. Like, I liked him and I was rooting for him at first, but I also thought he was whiny, too.
She's talking about the Zodiac series, by the way.
Don't know if we said that, but someone wrestled.
It's Romina Russell, isn't it?
Romina Russell, the Zodiac series.
Yeah.
It's good for younger readers. Like, readers that are just starting, growing into their nerddom. Mm-hmm. Younger, mostly female.
Then after Matthias died,
With air quotes around died.
At first, I didn't like Heisen. I thought he was weird. But then after Matthias died, with air quotes around died.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
He didn't actually die. I started to like Heisen more, and I started to root for him, and I, like, died every time there was even a little bit of romantic action between Heisen and Ro. And then Matthias came back, and I got mad.
My biggest problem with YA novels is love triangles.
Love triangles.
I loathe them. I hate them. I dealt with it through Hunger Games, because Hunger Games was freaking amazing, and we don't watch or read Hunger Games for the love triangle. We watch / read Hunger Games because it gives us a sense of purpose and it makes us feel better
about
our lives.
And it's about a freaking awesome woman.
Yeah, Katniss Everdeen, queen, hero, love her. But I hate love triangles, especially when they're long and drawn out and they don't get together to the very end. Like, give me some freaking fluff, please and thank you. Anyway, this has been Book Talk with Jessica and Autumn. We will see you in the next episode. Just kidding. We're here for serial killers, not books. You don't want to hear us talk about books. If you want to hear us talk about books, if you want to hear us talk about books and you would like to talk to us about books, you can email us at itwasnifeknowingyou@gmail.com. But if you want to talk about literally anything, Autumn and I are huge nerds.
Yeah.
We play video games, RPGs mostly, Skyrim, Dragon Age.
love Dragon Age.
Please email us about Dragon Age.
I could talk until I'm blue in the face about Dragon Age.
I want to rant to somebody else besides you. Because literally, the only person I know who plays that game beside you is my world history teacher.
I need you to set something up so I can also speak to him about Dragon Age because, listen.
Unfortunately for you, he's engaged.
The Facebook, I don't want him for that purpose. Excuse me. I just want to talk about Dragon Age.
I know, but unfortunately
anyway,
for you,
he's we are huge single. Nerds. We both love to read. We also really like haunted things. Autumn's my serial killer. Serial killer. Autumn is not a serial killer. She's 13. But she is my horror movie buddy. We love horror movies, especially James Wan. James Wan. His horror movies are so intricate and detailed. But really, our interest in serial killers comes from, we started with Bailey Sarian, I think. Yeah. And then I found this podcast called And That's Why We Drink. I love that podcast. I love Christine and them. They are my favorite.
We also
I introduced Autumn to that, and now she loves it.
We also really like paranormal stuff.
Like,
we like to watch BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Oh my gosh, BuzzFeed Unsolved is so good. Both of them, the true crime. True crime is not as good as Supernatural, but Ryan and Shane. Shane, okay, we have a brother. We actually have two brothers, but one of our brothers is literally, like, Shane. Like,
both, one of our brothers is also like Ryan.
Yeah, actually, like, Shane and Ryan are our brothers.
Ryan and Shane.
like, it's insanity. They're awesome.
They're not actually.
So, if you want to chat with us about any of that, you can email us at itwasknifeknowingyou@gmail.com. Spelled exactly how it sounds. No capitals. itwasknifeknowingyou@gmail.com.
No spaces.
No spaces, no capitals, so nothing. No dots. No dots, no nothing. No butts, no nuts. But I think that's it. We will see you in the next one. And it was Knife Knowing You.
Bye. Bye.